This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So the MGO Blog Roundtable coming up. And let me tell you something about my guy, Seth Fisher. In a sea of terrible reporting during this cycle, there was a lot of it. Like, I would see some stuff, and I'd be like, man, what in the hell? Where did that come from? And at times like that, it's like people are so, their appetite for information is so insatiable that they will read anything. So I appreciate when someone's accurate, when they have like legit real sources. And Seth Fisher, my friend from MGO Blog, yeah, man, you have some legit stuff over there on the blog.
Okay, but they're not legit real sources. My power is that I don't have sources. So I have to, like, go on the internet and search for things, or, like, some guy in the message board is like, yeah, I knew these two guys at Stanford. They're buddies. Like, that's how I learn things.
Yeah, that's called a source, right?
Right.
That's called a source.
I've just been an insane sports fan for so long that, like, I have a question, and I just, like, Google things until I find it.
Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short, because look, the message board and DMs, I mean, people get tips, right?
Right.
And so you have a platform to get tips. So you got a good tip, and then you checked it out. You didn't just report it.
Right.
That guy didn't give you a tip and you say, oh, Matt Weiss and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, they're tight. They're good friends. Right. You didn't get that and just run with it just because someone told it to you on the blog.
No, but I don't think that they wanted me pointing out Matt Weiss was the go-between on this thing. Like,
there are a lot of things that people don't want pointed out in times like that. But, you know, it was true. That is accurate.
I think a lot of times, and I'm sure, Sam, you know this better than most, that people have information and want to share it. And if you go and report everything that you're told, sometimes you're just reporting something that someone wants you to say, not necessarily something that's true, right? Like somebody's angling, or somebody's got something that they want, people to think in order to change the tenor of the conversation.
Right, and so that's why during this, one of the things I always do is I present who it's coming from. So you can take into account that's a perspective.
Right.
What an agent says is that agent's perspective.
Right.
What a coach says is that coach's perspective. That doesn't mean that's how it is.
Right. Right. If you have a Vikings reporter and they're saying, well, here's how it went down, you have to kind of take that as, okay, well, that's somebody who's talking to the Vikings fans who want to believe that there is some way out of Kirk Cousins' hell and just lost probably their best opportunity.
Right. So, but hey, look, it is no two ways about it. A stunning development. As we laid out, and we'll get deeper into during the roundtable session, the interview, obviously, but that wasn't a formality, right? I mean, we said that at the time, that there were some things, some concerns that would have to be addressed. In the interview, I can't say that the concerns that I listed during my final report on the eve of his interview, that those were the issues that were the roadblocks. Or maybe there was a Vikings reporter that said there were some concerns in the organization over the 49ers exit. I don't know if that was the thing. I don't know if it's what the guy from The Athletic was saying, that hey, he, you know, Jim in the final analysis had second thoughts and pulled out. What we can say is things were looking really, really positive heading in, right? Looking really, really positive. Something happened in that interview that turned things south. I don't know what that thing is right now, but it just confirms that there were some real things that had to be addressed in this interview. And in, for some reason, something happened where they weren't addressed satisfactorily enough from one side or the other. I don't know which.
Yeah. I mean, let's go back to the, you know, where information comes from and how good information gets out to the public. As far as, you know, an example of something where, like, everyone's got it. Harbaugh definitely told everyone in Schembechler Hall goodbye, right? And he left Minnesota thinking he was getting that job, or at least thinking that, like, if they offered it, he was going to take it. Because
I'll go for that.
I don't want to jump to that. Yeah, you're right.
Because saying that he said he told everyone goodbye suggests that he left having the job.
Right. No. I think he left, but everyone had it. And I think that that probably came from him telling people in Schembechler Hall, listen, if I'm going to Minnesota, if they offer me the job, I'm going to take that job. And that, when you hear that as, you know, an assistant coach or as a player or a graduate guy, you know, all the people that these guys all live in Ann Arbor, they all have people they talk to. They all go to people and say, let me tell you something we can't tell anybody else. And it all gets back around. And everyone had that story, which tells me that that, you know, that that's how it got out to a lot of people. Now, what happened in the room, that was only a very few people, right? They're not like the people who know what happened in that room are just the people in that room and the people they've told, family members, perhaps, right? Their agents after, but like people who were principals were in that room and they haven't told anybody yet.
Right.
So no one knows what happened in that room. And there's some wild stories out there. My favorite, and I don't believe it at all, but I wish it was true, is that J.J. McCarthy drove to Minneapolis and like talked him out of it. Like people are just coming up with stuff, right?
I mean, it was 0 degrees in Minneapolis. They could have told him that, no, you are stuck with Kirk Cousins for at least 5 years. I mean, those were, that right there would be a walking point for me.
Right, like, hey, let me see the salary cap situation. And he looks at the paper and goes, oh. Because, I mean, there are, I mean, let's say Jim Harbaugh, one of the problems that he had, one of the reasons he was a little nervous about sticking around at Michigan is that it's hard to repeat the success they had last year, especially in the NIL era, and things are not necessarily fair, and the expectations versus the level of what Michigan can do are not the same. Well, if you're going to take the Vikings job, you're not competing in a fair system there either, right? Like, congratulate, you have the Lions in your division, that's great, but, you know, Justin Fields is going to get better, the Bears are going to be a better team, Green Bay is still there, and, you know, the NFC is not getting any easier. So you got quite an uphill battle with the situation that they have in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're going to have to win their crowd. And we're going to talk about how Jim can win this crowd. Because I ask you the temperature on the blog, and we only have a couple of minutes left. And what I've sensed, whether it's our Twitter feed, some of the feedback we've gotten here during the show, and certainly on the MichiganInsider.com, is that it's split, maybe not right down the middle. You know, the majority of Michigan fans, I would say, are excited that Jim Harbaugh is back. But there is I've noted a sizable contingent that is like, oh, so we're the consolation prize kind of thing. And so how do you win those folks back if you're Jim Harbaugh? And I'm curious if you've sensed the same kind of split on the blog.
Yeah, there's a difference, and maybe we'll get into this in the next segment. There's a difference between who's commenting, right? The number of comments you get and the, you know, the actual tenor of where people feel, because people who are mad at Harbaugh are more likely to comment, but they're also, their comments are getting like negative 40 votes. So that, I mean, that tells you on the message board, most people are just excited about Harbaugh. They understand we've been through so many players who wanted to go to the NFL and made their decisions, right? And okay, he tried, he didn't get the job. He's back at Michigan. The next question is more about, you know, what comes next? Is he going to try again next year and stay on this contract? Is he going to sign a contract that has a buyout that means that he can't move on? Is he going to set up Josh Gattis as his heir apparent and make sure that there's a smooth transition if he leaves? What happens next is going to dictate where people actually come out on this. I don't think it's closed yet.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. I know I was looking forward to this. I'm sure you guys were looking forward to this. The MGO blog crew with us this morning, the roundtable crew, at least two of the three. We'll see if we get go three for three a little bit later on in the session. But joining us as they do, returning from the last segment, Seth Fisher from MGO blog. Seth, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Ira and I want to celebrate National Women in Sports Day today. I hope that's the that's on the docket because there's really nothing else to talk about this week, right?
Nothing else. We're good.
And of course, the venerable one, as I say, Craig Ross. Craig, you've covered a lot of sports stories. You've seen a lot of things happen at Michigan. Any development as stunning as the one we just witnessed? Was Bo turning down A&M? Was that as stunning as?
No, because those things all sort of happened simultaneously. I mean, the stories sort of broke and then they were done the same day. This has been going on for a while now, and it's sort of confounding. And perhaps it's because of the internet age that people seem willing to throw stories out there that really just aren't very solid or just made up or just, you know, untrue. In that spirit of, you know, I think I know why Harbaugh decided, assuming this is true, and I'm sort of guessing it may be, assuming why Harbaugh decided not to take the Minnesota job. There are five really good reasons. One is when they flew him out there, they flew him out on United. And for the 13th straight time, they lost his luggage. Because if anyone has ever flown United, you know it's about 50-50 that they'll lose your luggage. So two is he got off the plane and said, damn, it's cold here. So he realized that it's probably even colder there than here. Three, there's a rumor out there his wife didn't want to learn how to speak Minnesotan. And that four, he realized or forgotten that Kirk Cousins was their quarterback, but he recalled what a douche that Kirk Cousins actually is. And five, there's a very strong rumor that Minnesota wants to employ a former MSU quarterback as their backup, and he didn't want to go to Klan meetings. And so those five things made Harbaugh decide that, you know, I ain't coming here. Why would I want to come to this place? And that's those are all true. So
let's unpack the real rumors that unfolded over the course of the month, starting with the reason that Jim Harbaugh was looking around was that there were a couple of them that were thrown out. He felt disrespected from last year, disrespected by the pay cut. You know, he felt offended by the fans, that he was lowballed by Ward Manuel, who was trying to push him out. At least the one about money and the one about Ward Manuel trying to push him out were preposterous to begin with. But I'm curious if you guys are seeing maybe some revisionist perspective here. When you go back and look at the fans that were listening to and buying into those theories, do they feel differently now? And what do you guys think of those narratives that were being spun at the time?
I got to admit, I was helping with one of those narratives because I believe that, not like Ward was pushing him out, but I did think that, you know, there was a difference in how Harbaugh felt, because how could there not be between where Michigan fans were after 2-4 and where they were before that, right? Like, we were clinking.
Michigan fans, okay, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that, like, if he felt that if Michigan was, because he stood by Michigan, there was a whole bunch of NFL rumors the whole time, like from 2000, 2015 to 2019, we didn't go a week without somebody saying Harbaugh's going back to the NFL, right? Like, you couldn't talk to a recruit, and, you know, somebody would be in his ear three times being like, hey, he's leaving for the NFL. Why would you go there? So, I mean, Harbaugh always just made fun of those rumors and stuck by Michigan, but then 2-4 happens. Michigan fans kind of soured on him. We were openly talking about other coaches and moving on from him, and you got to feel that. If you're, you know, he's living in Ann Arbor. You can't go around Ann Arbor and not have a conversation about Michigan football, right? So he's around all this all the time. He knows what people think about him. And if the athletic department gave him a contract that was not very secure, that meant that they could get rid of him and they broom him out if he had another bad season, I do think that he probably started thinking to himself at that point, you know what, if I'm going to make it to the NFL, I got to set myself up to leave. And his hiring, the people he hired, set Michigan up for him, for Michigan to survive, because Harbaugh was not going to leave Michigan in the lurch. He is a Michigan fan. Remember, this is the guy who came in with, you know, ideas about the color yellow, right? So, like, this is a Michigan fan. So he was not going to leave Michigan in the lurch. And I think that some of his hires last year show that he was setting Michigan up for success if he left for the NFL. And I got to imagine, you know, what clicked, what pressed that button, was going 2-4 last year, realizing that, you know, Michigan was going to move on without him, possibly if he had a bad season, and saying, look, I'm going to put some young people in place. I'm going to put some people in place who are going to be able to survive me leaving, and I'm going to make sure that Michigan's going to be okay. And I thought he did that. But Michigan was in really good shape for a team that would have lost their coach in early February because of the things that he did last year.
So I think we're... Go ahead, Craig. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I think I see exactly what Seth is saying, and that I, at one point in my professional career, my law partner and I were in charge of a 75-person agency, and we talked once a month at least about what our job descriptions actually were. And one of them was, and I think John Bacon would appreciate this, one of them actually was, is who takes over when we get fired and or we leave or are retired or something else. And so transitions are really important. And when you're in charge of an agency or any sort of organization, what you should be looking at is, okay, how does this group that we care about transition seamlessly into something else? And when we were talking about this a bit before, right at the beginning, when Bo retired or left Michigan and they hired Gary Moeller, that happened in 30 minutes because Bo called a press conference. What's Bo calling this press conference about? Well, I wasn't even close to being in the media, but I thought, what the hell, I'll go over. And I went over there and he goes, I'm retiring. Here's the new head coach, Gary Moeller. That was it. And I think really, in retrospect, it worked out pretty well. But Bo had it in his head that, okay, I have to have a transition plan here in this organization. So I believe that that's something that Harbaugh's been aware of. One thing also that you guys said or mentioned was that about Harbaugh was that when he took this contract, when we talked about this last year, I said, and I think there was some agreement, that I had a whole new respect for everybody involved. I had a whole new respect for Ward Manuel because I think he handled it with some dexterity and that the contract made sense given COVID and everything else that had happened. And two, it gave me great respect for Jim Harbaugh in that he gambled on himself. He said, okay, I'll take this 50% salary cut because I'm still coach at Michigan and I'm going to go out there and prove that I can bounce back off of this terrible year and season. And they really did in a year when no one, including me, including most people who looked at the landscape of it, thought that he really had much chance to do so. And so, you know, you got to respect the fact that A, that he was willing to do it, and B, that he won his gamble.
Yeah,
and so I don't feel, you know, I don't think that I would be surprised if Jim Harbaugh felt somehow some sense of being dissed. If is that the idea by the contract? Yeah. I mean, he just gave $2 million back.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah, man, that never made sense. So let me weave sort of a different tapestry here, because I don't think that when Jim hired that staff last year, he did so in view of some succession plan. You know, this is how they're going to carry on without me. I just don't see it that way.
Okay.
I think you had a fight or flight, and you had to get some things right. It required you to maybe take a different view of your staff composition. And I think that's what drove, how can I be successful right now? I got to get this right. Now, if there was a cause and effect from last year and how it affected his thought process, I think it was being on the precipice of losing your job and feeling like a place where maybe the benefit of the doubt and the leash would maybe be endless. There was an infinite leash because you are a native son. This is your place. People will understand your struggles and they will give you an opportunity to come out of them. Well, not only was every other fan, you know, saying get rid of Jim Harbaugh, but this is the thing, and this is the thing you got to take into account with how Ward handled this and why I think this idea that maybe he was offended by how Ward handled him is a bunch of bunk. Ward Manuel not only was hearing from fans, because we're hearing from those same fans, but I know that there were people in the upper levels of Michigan who were saying, hey, it's time to move on from Jim Harbaugh. I know there were former players who were saying, it's time to move on from Jim Harbaugh. And Ward went against that. He essentially, in doing so, put his neck right next to Jim's on that chopping block, saying, hey, I vouch for this. And in order to make it happen, in order to even make it palatable, yeah, I got to give you this contract that is incentive-based. But you know what the alternative is? You don't have a job. So how can you look at that? And I'm not saying Jim feels this way. I'm saying that the people that perceive, their perception of Jim feeling this way, how could he look at that? A guy who puts his neck on the line to keep you. You're going to be offended by the contract that he put on the line to assure your existence? That doesn't make sense to me.
People want an enemy, or some people want like some, they want somebody they can throw to the wolves and be like, you know, who was the guy once? Some guy tweeted like, you know, Ward Manuel, the guy who lost Jim Harbaugh and John Beilein. Like, come on. like the people want a bad guy or like an easy fix, right? Like, there's your problem. There's the guy that we got to broom out of here, because that's what's going wrong here. I think that, I mean, obviously Harbaugh gave away the money. It wasn't about the money. Anyone who was like, he should have offered him a Mel Tucker contract the second year, like, or Harbaugh was upset that he didn't get like that. This guy is not about the money. Obviously, this guy is not about the money.
Here's the thing, man. If you're one of those people who believe that, though, which I think it's, I agree with you, Seth, I think it's a bunch of bunk. But if it was about the money, I would think that those who were critical of Ward about that would be like, okay, well played. It was about the money. And here it is. You won without offering more money. I mean, but I don't think it was about that for either side. I think you had a coach in Jim Harbaugh who is genuinely interested in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reason it took so long was because the interest from the NFL wasn't as plentiful as a lot of people were saying. They say, oh, he's dragging this out. Well, you got to drag it out as long as it takes for a team to show serious interest.
Right.
And so here Minnesota is showing serious interest. At that point, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah doesn't get hired until about 10 days ago or however, what, last Wednesday. So, or a couple Wednesdays ago now. So, hey, man. It took that long.
And that was a shot in the dark, right? Like, all the other things went by. Like, you know, the Giants, people say, like, oh, there's the Giants, that's going to happen now. And, like, even people were putting out there that, like, oh, there's a possibility. Nothing came of it, right? The Raiders, like, that was just that was a momentary thing. I thought we were pretty much in good shape after the Raiders didn't happen, because that was the one job that really seemed to be, like, it's a good fit. He knows the family. He's worked in the organization. He met his wife in Las Vegas. Like, that's a place that he could feel as comfortable as Ann Arbor. Minnesota was just like, he wants an NFL job, obviously, and this is his last shot. And, you know, I'm sure he got on the phone with Kwesi, and they hit it off. And I can't imagine. I don't know what happened in there. My guess is that ownership, and not just the owner who's attached to Michigan, like the Winks, probably thought when they hired Quasey that they're getting an analyst, right? That they're getting a Rams organization, which does a lot of advanced metrics and leaks their decisions based off of,
you know, Matt White stuff right there, right?
Right, right. And so I think that that's what they thought they were getting. They're like, okay, we're going to hire an analyst guy. He's going to hire some more analyst people, and we're going to be the new Rams. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves in a Harbaugh conversation. Well, Jim Harbaugh organization is a very different thing, right? Or at least in their minds.
I guess maybe I think you're, look, I think your line of thinking is right, Seth. And understand, we're both speculating.
Neither no one
in the room yet. So we're speculating some. But Jim, I can tell you, was preparing for that. Was preparing for that part. That's why Matt Weiss is, in addition to what you said, him being a go-between because of his relationship with Quasey Adolfo Mensah, he's also essential in this because he's an analytics guy. He's an advanced metrics guy. He's the guy that can coach Jim up essentially to get him ready for the interview. Now, whether that was executed as well as that needed to be executed, I mean, I guess we'll never know, or we certainly don't know right now. But there was also this other thing that you hear that I kept hearing and talking to agent left, agent right, agent up the middle. They were saying, hey, man, there's this perception in the NFL that he can be a little difficult to work with. And so you saw the ESPN Vikings reporter say, yeah, there's this feeling in amongst the ownership that, hey, what happened with that 49ers exit and some of the things that they were hearing coming out of that. So I don't know how you offer assurances about how easy you're going to be able to work. You're going to work with people in an interview to the extent that you can get that done in 9 hours. Was that an issue? I don't know, but I do know that that was maybe an overriding theme from the agent perspective heading into this thing. Is one of the things that I listed as a final hurdle. The final hurdles that I listed, you talked about one of them, Seth, which was this advanced metrics analytics thing. And sort of feeling like, well, he'll be ready to pass that test based on all the work he did with Matt Weiss. The other thing, well, how do you address this perception of you? Was it one of those things? Again, that's one of the things I'm anxious to find out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll find it out, or maybe we'll get a whole bunch of stories from what people want us to hear. I mean, that report was totally from somebody, like, that happened after the fact. And the Vikings still have to hire somebody. So, like, they can't have it out there for a whole night that, like, oh, Jim Harbaugh came and interviewed, looked at our roster and said, not doing that.
The one that I referenced was actually before.
Yeah.
The 49ers thing was actually before.
Yeah, yeah, that was. My theory, and, you know, this is as good as any other theory put out there, is that Matt Weiss engineered this whole thing to get Harbaugh to take analytics seriously, finally.
funny, but look, I do think it's hysterical, but I must say, they added a significant analytics sort of influence to what they did this year, especially, fourth down. I mean, it was a thing. So Harbaugh, them took it seriously during the year. It wasn't just now.
Oh, I know. But now he's got like a whole plane ride with Matt Weiss talking nothing about analytics. Weiss has got to be sitting there being like, okay, message received, finally.
So what of this, guys? What of, and I asked this question beforehand, as we laid out before, we had a whole conversation, guys, it's looking like it's leaning this way. If he gets this job offer, if they offer, he will accept. My belief is that they didn't offer. And now, look, whether that's the case or not, to me, is beside the point. What happened and what you put out there can be two different things, as far as I'm concerned, if you're Jim Harbaugh, because it's more functional for you, whether true or not, to go out there and say with vigor, with enthusiasm unknown to mankind, I had a choice and I chose Michigan. That has to be what you say, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if it's true or not. Make it so, right? Put that out there. But it is always, I think, important to separate his ability to compartmentalize, because he's going to attack this job with vigor and intensity, and he's not going to express any disappointment in how he does this job. You separate that ability to compartmentalize from the ability of the people in your orbit. So I do think that there's some massaging to do maybe not with every player, maybe even not with most players, but some players. I think there's going to be some massaging to do with not every coach, but some coaches. You know, when you ask people to be all in, it's important that they perceive you as being all in too. So to the extent that he can show that, that he can demonstrate that, guys, and I wonder if you have any theories on how you do that, I think that's going to be important.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not sure, like you, exactly why he didn't take the Minnesota job, whether it wasn't offered or whether he decided, no, I don't want it, or if it was a mutual decision between the two saying, you know, this really probably isn't the best fit. Any of those things seems possible to me. But it seems more important to me to figure out why was there this dalliance with the NFL in the first place? And I think once you answer that question, you can then begin to deal with other people that you're going to need to have to deal with. And so if the reason why, and I'm going to guess, I have no idea why Harbaugh had decided all of a sudden he maybe wanted to go back to the NFL, but my guess might be is that it isn't a level playing field for Michigan. That Michigan, you know, in other words, Michigan can't be in the transfer portal really to any significant degree. There's a lot of irony in this because it was more or less his idea. Yeah. That's number one, but Michigan can't take advantage of it, or at least right now can't. Two is this sense that it's just harder for Michigan to get some kids in. While as a friend of mine wrote me, Harbaugh was fighting with admissions about Xavier Worthy, Ohio State was giving Quinn Ewers $1 million. And so those are two very, very different sorts of environments. And that may have caused some frustration. And two, perhaps Michigan has been slow in on the NIL front. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what Michigan has done. They've certainly been less public about you know, what their NIL deals organization structure is than other university. I mean, Texas A&M is saying, hey, yeah, we just gave $30 million to our incoming recruiting class. And so these things, if that's what it is, then it's, I think it's easier for Jim Harbaugh to say, because the first parent of a recruit is going to say to him, I suspect, hey, wait a minute, why should my kid want to be in Ann Arbor when you don't want to be in Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that, if you're the parent of a kid who's being recruited by Michigan, you can say, wait a minute, you don't want to be here, why should my kid want?
Right.
And so he's going to have to sort of, in his compartmentalization, he's going to have to sort of come up and say, no, look, here's my frustrations. Mm-hmm. My frustrations are perhaps this lack of a level playing field for us. But, you know, I'm going to fight through that, and we're going to have good kids here and whatever else. And so to me, the most important thing is not what happened with Minnesota, but what happened so that Harbaugh really was pursuing this opportunity in the first place.
Yeah, I think there's something to that argument. I kept hearing from people the level playing field consideration is a real deal. Is it easier to win a Super Bowl than it is a national championship? I think you can make the case.
Yes.
Understanding that neither is easy. I don't want to.
Especially in Minnesota right now.
right. But is it easier when everyone has the same cap? You don't have regional advantages when it comes to talent procurement. I mean, you know, it's the playing field comes more down to your coaching and scouting ability in the NFL. And so, yeah, you can see how that would be more appealing. But to me, I got this question for you guys. Maybe I can put it to the people in the stream. You know, if the frustration that people felt from this entire dalliance, if that's the only price you have to pay for having Jim Harbaugh never entertaining the NFL again, because I think that's where we are now. Like, he can't entertain the NFL again. He can't. He cannot do it. All right, so if all you had to pay was being frustrated for a month, was it worth it? Because, you know, the why that you were talking about, Craig, I think is separate from a Jim Harbaugh question. If Jim Harbaugh leaves, you need to have a game plan for how you deal with the imbalances in the portal, a game plan for how you deal with the imbalances in NIL. That doesn't affect whether Jim Harbaugh is going to be here or not moving forward. He's here. Like, he can't entertain the NFL anymore. That's what, you know, for Michigan fans, you got that out of this. Was it worth it? If you could say your coach never will entertain the NFL ever again, you never have to worry about that that part of the negative recruiting. Did you really pay that much in the grand scheme of things?
Well, the question for me is your predicate true? In other words, just because we think that's an unlikely reality doesn't mean that the coaches at XYZ University aren't going to use it anyway. Hey, this guy was out there looking for the end of it. Could be any day now. Any day now he drops, you know, he becomes, you know, coach at Jacksonville or whatever.
well, but let's be practical about this for a minute. There wasn't that much. So part of this is interest on his side. So we'll talk about it from both sides. Mm-hmm. If he ever showed interest in the NFL again as the coach of the University of Michigan, it is game over. It is game over. Like, there's no way that if you're Ward Manuel, you tolerate that. It is done. Especially coming back, and he said that it'll never happen again. There's no freaking way. But that's one part of it. The other thing that I would assume would be the case is that it's in the contract. There is some sort of contractual commitment that says the size of the buyout, however you do it, there's some contractual commitment that ensures that he will not look at the NFL again. So that's from this side. The other side of it, the NFL side of it, you think if it took getting to this circumstance that you laid out, Seth, here at the very end, a GM that worked with Jim in San Francisco, who went to college with his quarterback's coach, right? It took that scenario to get this level of interest in the 23rd hour. And it didn't work. And you mean to tell me not the NFL is going to be more interested next year? No, dude.
I mean, like, if he crushes Ohio State 42-27 in Columbus, maybe that's what he needed. Like, you're right. There's two ways I think there are two ways this could work out. Because organizations, and Craig could speak to this too, I'm sure, organizations work with the possibility that they've got an all-star who's going to get poached by somebody who can, every organization except, you know, the very top have had to deal with this situation before. And like you said, you put it in the contract or you have an out plan. So the two options they have are either he signs a contract with like a $9 million buyout or whatever it is that is going to make up the difference between NFL interested and NFL is like, you know, if you even want to do this, you have to go and spend $10 million just to get him out of there. That is probably going to tip it over to the point where NFL, they can talk about the NFL all they want to, but no NFL team wants Jim Harbaugh so bad that they're willing to commit that kind of money towards him. Okay, that's one way you can do it. The other way you can do it is say, Jim, be honest, if you really do, you know, your heart wants to get to the NFL, and I understand that. Every player understands that. There is no player who plays for Michigan who has not understood, man, if I had the opportunity to play in the NFL, I want to go, right? Like, people get that, especially if you're in this. If you're at the level where you're playing at Michigan, you know how much time you've committed to football from the time when you're like 4 years old or something. You are so committed to this sport, and you've been watching the NFL. You understand that. But if that's the situation, you need an associate head coach, and you can point to Gattis and say, "This is my guy. He was ready last year. If I leave next year, he's going to be in charge. These are going to be your coaches." Right? We've got Ron Bellamy. He's not going anywhere. We got Mike Hart. He's not going anywhere. These guys are Michigan dudes, right? Steve Klingscale. This guy is as Michigan as they come, and we finally brought him home. This guy was trying to get back to live in Ann Arbor his whole life, and he is here, and he's a co-DC, and he's not going anywhere either. This is going to be our staff. These are the people you're going to play for. This is the university you're going to play for. And if Jim Harbaugh is not here, guess what? You're going to have someone who might be better in 5 years. Because this is my guy. The other thing you could do is you have a defensive coordinator position open, and you could say, okay, we're going to hire somebody who's a defensive mind and someone who would not take that job unless associate head coach was part of the deal. And you point to that guy and say, look, here's a guy that Michigan probably would have hired for head coach if I left last year, and that's going to be your coach if I leave next year. Yeah, I want to be in the NFL. Who doesn't? You know why you don't hear James Franklin to the NFL rumors? Because nobody in the NFL would even think about taking James Franklin. Why would you want that guy? But yeah, we have a coach that the NFL would be interested in, and nobody else really has that. I mean, even Nick Saban, he flamed out in the NFL. No one wants him. You know, Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day, the two guys that the NFL are really interested in right now. And we got one of those guys, and yeah, I might go if the NFL comes, but here's where you're going to be playing, and here's who you're going to be playing for. Those are the only two ways to do it.
I mean, I think that's absolutely on the money, and it sort of explains what I was trying to say before, that having a rational transition plan in the mix is really important. It's important for your fans. It's important for your players. It's important for guys you're recruiting. And at dinner the other night, I had Dave Nasternak and my wife furious at me because I suggested if Harbaugh left, they not have a head coach. And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm a graduate of Communist Martyrs High School." And that what you could have, no one's tried it, is a coaching staff. Here's our coaching staff. These guys are going to be here. We're giving them XYZ dollars, and they're deciding who gets what money and who gets what role. Yeah. So, and it seems to me that's completely plausible scenario. They thought it was stupid. I think it's actually a very good idea.
I think it's stupid.
Verges on what? Yeah, I know. So does everyone.
I think you guys are on to a very important point as we get to the break. So you get Jim locked in, and you're setting this staff up. You said it like Bo and Mo, they had coaches on their staff, the succession plan. Right. I believe fully that Jim, I really believe that had he gone, he was going to endorse a member of his staff to take over. I'm convinced of it, that he was going to do that. I think that Jim was going to endorse Josh Gattis. I really do. Now, that's by the wayside. That's by the wayside. That does not mean that even from an admin perspective that you are not crafting that plan too, that you are not putting things in place to assure that these guys are going to be around. Because I said if you're Jim Harbaugh, you can't take for granted that you come back, and because you are so superhuman in your compartmentalization skills that everyone else is going to be able to compartmentalize too, that you can, you know, put aside your disappointment, if you have any, over not getting Minnesota, and just say full bore Michigan and not affect you in any way. Everyone else is not like that. You're going to have to massage some of these people in ways, fans too, that lets them know that you're all in. Do some things to show them that you're all in. I think from an administrative perspective, I also think you cannot take for granted that all these guys, all these coaches are just locked in, that they're just here. Jim's back. They can't be poached. Mm-hmm. I feel about that like I feel about the recruiting class. I said, it's Jim Harbaugh was going through this process. Don't think that the guys that are signed to the class in 22, that they're just locked in. Oh, but if someone messes with them, it's tampering. Yeah, what's your point?
Yes. it is. Right, that, you know, NCAA is going to come down on Texas any moment.
So my point is, I would say, hey, you got to recruit those guys. I feel the same way about this coaching staff. I think the admin, Ward and company, would be very, very wise that if they, as they do Jim's extension, go back over these assistants, man. Make it harder for them to be poached, because just like teams look at the Jim's dalliance as a way to get to their 22s, like there's some vulnerability, maybe they'll be more susceptible to look around. You don't think that other suitors look at the assistants that way too? So make that not be an issue. Go back around, show a even stronger commitment to them. As you extend Jim, extend them too. That, I think that has to be a focus of theirs. Don't take for granted that everyone's just locked in.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. That's smart. And I think Ward is smart and will be thinking along the same lines. And the thing that's interesting about what you said was I have two fans who are really passionate Michigan guys and who email me and always have opposite opinions about just about everything. And one of them said, well, Gattis will be the pro Harbaugh guy. said, well, Gattis will be the new next coach. That's what it should be. And the anti-Harbaugh guy say, oh, no, it's got to be Mike Hart. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the fan base, the pro and anti-Harbaugh fan base is split along those lines, too. It just makes me curious.
I think that there's a sizable contingent of people who are like, okay, go play the field, go, you know, and I'm sure Michigan thought that way too, but to address what Sam said, absolutely. And I think that was always going to be the plan, is that they're going to lock some of these guys up, because last year they signed contracts as being young guys. You know, you got Klingscale, he deserves to be co-DC. I know Michigan officially in some metric finished number 27th in passing yards per game, but every advanced metric said they were like the 16th passing defense team last year. Klingscale had a lot to do with that. He really coached his heart out last year. He's going to be co-DC. Co-DC is also just a title, so I don't think that's going to stop you from having your... But he deserves more money, and I think that if Michigan was ready to put more money towards Harbaugh, that's where the money should go. If we're talking about a new contract and money coming out of Michigan that they weren't having to pay last year, that's where it really belongs. Because Harbaugh would coach for, you know, if he gets Ryan Day's contract minus some, he'll be fine with that. I think that Harbaugh's not going to, but he's going to want money for his staff to upgrade these people. Ron Bellamy, he showed how special he is in 1 year. I mean, people who, I live in West Bloomfield, we've known how special he is for a while here. It took 10 years. He took the worst football program in the state into the state champion, the best football team in the state. Ron Bellamy is special. He's going somewhere. I know he's very young in his college career, but that guy's going places. Mike Hart, everyone who knows him says he's really smart. He was associate head coach at Indiana, which was a good team when he was there. People think that he's a future head coach, too. I don't think Mike Hart is necessarily ready. I don't think that he's that. I think that that was coming out of a contingent in the Michigan fan base that's always kind of been there. They've always been negative about Harbaugh. I think that is the same contingent, or at least a lot of overlap with the contingent that gave us Brady Hoke. And they're probably not going to be the ones dictating the direction. But the voice is always going to be there. But Michigan's a huge fan base. There's going to be a lot of voices out there. But Sam's right. You have to talk to you have to get the staff on board. That has to be money, because those guys work really hard. And you work harder at Michigan than you work at other places, and I think they know this.
And they were largely in the dark, most of them, during this process.
Yeah, no, they were.
Mike Elston and what was going on with Jim, they were largely in the dark. And you can't assume that those guys were just, hey, I'm just waiting to see what happens with Jim. And they weren't, they didn't have their feelers out there. Come on, man, let's be real.
Yeah,
let's be real about this, how this stuff really goes down. So, hey, we got to get to a break.
The reality is, from a, you know, is that no one in that building really knew what was going down. I mean,
other than Matt Weiss,
but right. But he was quiet about it because other coaches didn't know. Mike Hart didn't know, I don't think.
The only coach on staff that was truly super, like totally dialed into what Jim was doing with the Vikings was Matt Weiss.
Okay.
Period. Everyone else was just, you know, you're kind of hoping, hoping for some updates. I mean, they're calling agents too.
Yeah.
That's how they're doing the same thing I'm doing. Calling agents. Calling other coaches. They know coaches in the league and that kind of thing. Doing the same thing. So, you know.
Well, they deserve to get paid. Throw Sharon Moore in that mix, too.
Yeah.
You better double down on Sharon Moore. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Sharon Moore just got – he's the offensive – he's a co-offensive coordinator, and he's the OL coach starting last year. So, like, you know, as long as the money looks right and you convince that guy that, like, look, man, you are part of this. You are a Michigan guy, and we need you. But you're right. He's going to have to convince the staff. He's going to have to convince some of the players. The fans, I don't know. Like, you're not going to convince the fans. I mean, you go out and convince fans by, like, being all in for Michigan, right?
Well, see, I think it's really as simple as it was last year, because you had a significant contingent of fans saying, get him out of here. It's time to move on. And then all of a sudden, he was looking at the Vikings there. Oh my God, we can't lose Jim Harbaugh. Right. So you go out and win, you'll win the crowd. I mean, I think it's more simple with the fans than it is players and coaches. And I don't want to make it sound like you got the whole team and you got all coaches. I mean, it won't be. I think the majority of the team, the majority of the coaches would be like, let's go. You know, nothing to see here. But there's enough of that for you to be intentional about showing commitment, right? Mm-hmm. Showing A, you're all in, and then B, from a coaching perspective, the financial commitment to, hey, guys, no, you were in the dark doing all this, but that doesn't mean that we didn't value you. We're always going to make sure that you're taken care of. And here's how we're taking care of you right now. We want this staff to sort of stay together. And if it's me, I reconfigure the thing. You were talking about Ron Bellamy, and we can change this into an on the air discussion, but they are looking around. They brought in Albert Karshnia to be, your recruiting guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm shifting Ron over to offense. I'm making him my receivers coach. I'm making him, you know, whether it's personnel or director of recruiting, and having him be the Courtney next to Albert, because they're looking for someone to replace.
That's about 10 seconds, guys.
I do that with Ron. I'll repeat this when we get on.
Yeah, that makes that that feels like it really is logical and makes sense.
Sure, except for he's a great safeties coach. I would write with grain the safeties, and the difference between last year and this year was immense.
Okay, stand by, guys. Stand by. Back on radio in 5, 4, 3.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So let's play a game here about the Michigan, let create the Michigan staff moving forward, right? Got the parts that you have in place. And let's assume that you make the financial commitment to make sure that they're locked in, right? I was saying in the break that if it's me, I take Ron Bellamy from safeties, I move him over to receivers coach. He's my receivers coach and he's my recruiting coordinator. And so now what you've done, and now you don't have to go out and find someone necessarily to replace Courtney, or you can bring in another staffer, but you're taking advantage of Ron's expertise in that department. I think he's probably going to be recruiter of the year. I mean, he did a fantastic job in year one. You're putting him at receivers. You're allowing, at that point, Gattis to be your roamer, because last year the roamer was McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm doing that is I want to free up some flexibility for my defensive hire, right? I don't want to be limited in my pursuit of a defensive coordinator to have to get a linebackers guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't want to have to do that. A linebackers or an edge guy. If there's a guy out there that is a DB coach by trade or a safeties coach by trade, I want to be open to getting that guy, Aubrey Pleasant. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. Number one on the list has to be, in my opinion, Foot. And last I checked, I didn't see Byron Leftwich was a job out there. So maybe Foot is more available. But hey, if it's
he's a linebackers guy though.
I know. Yeah. He's a linebackers guy, but you can move George Hilo back to safety. Remember, George Hilo came from the secondary up to linebackers when BJ left and he hired Weiss. So now instead of doing it, it just gives you more flexibility. If you move Ron over to offense, it gives you an opportunity to increase his pay and take advantage of his expertise in recruiting by adding that recruiting coordinator tag. And then I go out and I hit the ground. I mean, I hit it hard. Getting a guy, maybe he wants a guy with pro experience. That's why I threw Aubrey out if you can't get Foot. But there are other guys. I mean, you know, we saw Jesse Minter's name out there. He's a guy who's at Vanderbilt now, but he's a pro guy mostly. If you don't want to stick in the pros, and, you know, Partridge is a safeties guy, if you wanted to look that way. If you want to look campy, Campy's a safeties, Anna. And a linebackers guy. So I like the flexibility that move would give.
That's fine. I think you have that flexibility and that's. I think you can approach it without having to make the move originally. You can say like, look, let's open this up and let's get the best guy. I think that one of the things that Michigan had last year that really helped them was McDonald really is a genius defensive mind. And I understand that that guy did not want to be in college very long. Like, the comments that he's made, they asked him, what would you do if they offer you the Michigan job? He's like, I would respectfully decline, man. I don't want that job. Get me the hell away from recruiting, please. And I get that. I would not want to be a coach who has to do that either. Some people are really good at going in the living rooms, and I'm not one of them. But, like, you want to find a mind like that. Somebody, because there is this whole meta-narrative, we talked about this a whole bunch this year, with what happened with, you know, Michigan's defense versus Ohio State's offense. And that has been the good-on-good in that rivalry for the last, like, I don't know, 6-7 years, right? Where Michigan's defense always was kind of better than their offense. Michigan's Ohio State's offense was always better than their defense. Ryan Day came in and NFL-ized that offense after Don Brown pretty much had their number. Don Brown knew how to stop that college offense that Urban Meyer ran. Ryan Day turned it into, they ran verts, they ran a lot of mesh, and they used those NFL concepts to you and their receivers and quarterbacks, obviously. And then McDonald brought NFL ideas to that, right? He put the defensive ends in the flats. He put them into different coverages. And those, and the way he ran it, it's not just play calling. It's how you design your defense and the concepts that you're using and how you are thinking about how it messes with the offense and what they want to do has to be that pro-style thinking, not because of the rest of the schedule. Michigan has two seasons, Ohio State and the rest of the schedule. And you need a defense that's going to be able to get you past that Ohio State game. You can't get blown out in that game again.
Yeah, I mean, I like your idea, Sam. It makes sense. I mean, Bellamy was a wide receiver at Michigan. He certainly can teach the position. He certainly seems to be a fine recruiter. And it does kind of balance the staff in a more logical way, depending on who they bring in to throw him over on the offensive side. I mean, there's no noise that any of the other assistants are leaving, is there? I mean, that's not something
I mean, it's no, there is not any noise, but I think you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I absolutely think you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Put it this way. I know that there are pro teams that have made overtures toward assistants and not just Jim talking to assistants mm-hmm. he would take with him. Mm-hmm. Not just that. I'm talking about NFL teams trying to poach Michigan's guys. So you want to make that or not? Make that be a non-issue, you know, go and show, just like the commitment to Jim is being shown by putting another extension on the table. No. And he signed to an extension already, right?
Right.
It says you got to sign another extension, but this is part of showing that commitment to him, which is why it was always preposterous to get back to the original point. Like, he felt disrespect. Give me a break. Just give me a break with that whole narrative. There's a lot of BS that was put out over the last month that I hope that it's not like it seems, that people just don't care about accuracy at all. Because I admit to being extremely, extremely frustrated at times with the willingness that people had to just believe anything. A guy came on my site mm-hmm. and was upset that I didn't report the Miami rumor. I was like, man, so I heard this rumor from an agent Saturday night. Some guy, some Chicago media member tweets it Sunday like it's this thing that's going down. There's going to be a team. He's going to announce it to the team Sunday or Monday that he's leaving for Miami. I can't find anyone to corroborate it with that. It was one agent. I'm not going to report anything in at this time. Just based on one guy, something so important, I'm going to try to check it, and no one else could corroborate it. No one in Ann Arbor, no one in the agent world, no some guys, no a guy in Miami. It just, you got ways to kind of reach out and figure some things out. So I didn't report. And the dude was like, what do I pay my money for if you aren't reporting the Miami thing? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? When we didn't, so you know, there was stuff out, national headlines, done deal. Harbaugh's going to Minnesota. It's already over. He's already agreed to take the job. I report, hey, there's some more hurdles to clear. This is not a done deal. The interview is not a formality. Why do I pay my money if you are reporting what everyone else is reporting? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, Sam, you've answered your own question. I mean, seemingly it does not. That for a lot of consumers of news, they just want something. And it doesn't matter if the something is true, not true, based in some reality, not based in any reality. They just want something. And so you could come on today and say, yeah, it's true. J.J. McCarthy walked from Ann Arbor to Minneapolis and convinced, you know, and people would, you know, think, oh, great. I'm getting my money's worth now.
No, the follow would be, oh, I guess we know who the starting quarterback's going to be.
So I just love that story, man. I mean, there's no way it's true, but I just love that story. But yeah, that shows you what it is. Your human brains are wired to believe what they want to hear. And in an absence of information, the thing is, you used to get broomed there was a press release from Michigan about the that 18-year-old Ace, whatever his name was, not Ace Handbender, obviously the
Ace Williams,
Ace Williams, right? Like the yeah. And Chat yeah. Sports, like, I mean, that's what they do. They just make something up that sounds kind of plausible, and you get clicks, and then someone tries to throw it on my message board, and that gets some more clicks, and you know, we broom people who do that really, really sharply, but like. That was like that guy. That was that one little industry. And honestly, this round, there were some people who really should know better, who have much bigger platforms that you can't just broom away, who were running with those kinds of stories that seemed to be based in absolutely nothing. And that, covering this and trying to write about this, it was really frustrating sometimes to come across these reports and like, Sam mentioned the NFL reporter and whatnot. NFL plus Harbaugh is always very difficult. But, I mean, these information sources need to be better. You have to, like, that guy mad at you, Sam, because, like, he wants his information. Why aren't you putting this out there? I mean, the people have to be more responsible, and we as an industry have to be a lot better at just making sure that people know that, like, if you destroy your credibility like that, that's it. No one can listen to you ever again. No one can take you seriously ever again. I live in terror whenever I write something that I got something wrong. Because, like, you lose that credibility. Smart people are not going to listen to you anymore.
Well said. Oh, you at least you think. I mean, here's the sad reality. It's a brilliant business model to just throw stuff out there. That's a sad but true reality. You know why? Because to most people, accuracy doesn't even matter. They just want to hear something. Mm-hmm. They just want to hear something. I wish it weren't that way. Trust me when I say I wish it weren't that way, but it is. Can't do it if you have a conscience, though. You can't do it. That's the thing. And I got a damn conscience. A conscience is not good for me. It's not the best thing for business, unfortunately, but I got a conscience. As do you guys, which I appreciate about you two. I appreciate about the folks over at MGO Blog. Do a great job on the blog. Seth, don't sell yourself short. Great source there on the Matt Weiss connection to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I didn't see anyone else with that but you. So kudos to you.
Thanks, message board guy.
All right, we got to get out of here, folks. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
Who's got it better than us?
No!